Blog Talk Radio. All too often these days, the factory whistle is falling silent in America. But there is a way to get American workers back to work. Start buying more American-made products. Now, a Michigan-based company is leading the way in this movement to strengthen our economy. It's called AmericanMadeProducts.com. AmericanMadeProducts.com is more than a way to purchase American-made products online quickly and securely. It's a way to get our economy moving in the right direction. Go online or call and speak to a live customer service representative. AmericanMadeProducts.com, a family company based on the belief in the American worker and the quality of American-made products. If you're an American manufacturer, big or small, and would like your products on our site, contact us. We add products daily. Tell your family, tell your friends, tell your employer about AmericanMadeProducts.com. Visit, shop, and watch America grow. AmericanMadeProducts.com.
We gave it a more powerful Duramax turbo diesel and Allison transmission to help it move over 21,000 pounds. And then we gave it an advanced exhaust brake system to help slow it down, saving wear and tear on your brakes and on you with a powertrain back for 100,000 miles. Introducing the new Silverado HD, the most powerful heavy duty ever made.
Powerful, powerful.
Yeah.
Once in a while you read about somebody being hit by a meteorite or lightning or somebody falling off the Empire State
right.
Building. Well, we got Brian Keller and it's 7 o'clock. Oh my gosh. Brother Brian. I mean, what's the odds on that? Starting to cry over. Give me a hanky over here. Anyway, the crew is actually here, all but Rebecca, the badass, and she is busy tonight. And hopefully she'll be back next week, I'm sure. She has family obligations, understandable. Take it away, guys. And Brian, by the way, I liked everything you posted, man. You posted some good stuff. I liked it.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Awesome.
Hey,
Brian.
Before we even really get the show rolling,
yes.
Let me interject real quick. I'm not going to ask for a moment of silence, but what I will do is for people to just take some time and reflect back on what happened 15 years ago at the Twin Towers Trade Center in New York. And today is the 15th anniversary of that. And we lost a lot of Union brothers and sisters that were out there trying to help people and the best they could considering what had happened. So I'm sure everybody here on this show would like to take time to reflect back on union brothers and sisters who in various capacities helped out during that time of that tragedy.
We worked over on Sea Crew and built a truck for the fire department. If you remember, Mark Hawkins drove it. I think it was driven by Mark out to New York and was painted very nice with 9/11. It had it all on there. It was a beautiful truck, and yeah, that was a tough day.
Right.
That was a tough day. But I wasn't working, and I got a call, and you got to turn on the TV, because, we didn't get out of work till late, and it's just shocking, but, yes, 9/11, 15 years. 15 years, long time. Long time, but a short time. It's like Pearl Harbor, you know. It just doesn't go away.
No. No.
You always keep
doesn't.
It in your mind. Well, okay. What do you got, guys? I know Brian's got a slew of stuff. Because he's been posting some great stuff. People should read that. Read all of it, because it's very good, very good. And he fights for you every week, every day. Come on, give him a hand. And what's this about Castile now? What I was checking it out about Castile leaving on the 18th, 2018.
Where'd you see that at?
I don't know. I thought somebody posted that under something you wrote, and let me see if I can find it real quick. It can happen June 2018, and brother, I'll still be resisting the Gary Castile shuffle. That's what he called it. The secretary treasurer position is open. With a Castile shuffle, show our teeth for a change, and let's get a person in there to make a change. If you personally like to say goodbye to Castile and buy him out, or just go ahead now and let him leave for one of his corporations he's trying to hustle. And he's an effing joke, not worthy in my UAW. I do apologize for throttling. But it was under a post that you wrote, Brian.
Oh.
I don't know exactly what that is and what that meant. So John Staton says, brother, you need to check out Brother Shotwell's works. He wrote a book, and I don't know what all that's about, but that's what he's saying. I have no idea what the deal is. And, I thought maybe you guys did. Now, since everybody's quiet for a change, joke. Caterpillar is firing 300 American workers in Mossville, Illinois, even though it is continuing to recruit and pay foreign H-1B guest workers to do the white-collar jobs sought by American professionals in the United States. Caterpillar's combination of white-collar layoffs and H-1B outsourcing matches the much-criticized decision by Carrier, a company in Nextdoor, Indiana, to outsource 1,400 blue-collar factory jobs to Mexico. They did it in Disney, too, pretty much. They got rid of, before they got rid of these people, they had them train their replacements, and that was last year. Had them train the replacements, and when they were trained, they let the Americans go and kept those H-1B visas. That's what they did at Disney in Florida. Now, that's got to stop. That's bullshit. I don't care in anybody's book. That's wrong. Sorry about my language, if there's any children. That's just crazy. That is just insane. Yeah. And they want more and more of these guys. They want more and more of these visas. They want to expand that tenfold.
Wow.
What are our college kids, you know, Don't tell me those people over there are smarter than the people we got out in America. We outwork any nation. Do you know that? Any nation.
Right.
We do. It's just incredible.
It is.
I'll be quiet.
I'm just trying to put my head around all the different numbers you just mentioned. You just mentioned, 300 people at Caterpillar, and then I heard 1,400. That's 1,700 people right there. I mean, that's a lot of people. And the ones at Disney that chose not to replace, they didn't get a severance package.
Right.
And then when they realized a bunch of them weren't going to do it, and that they didn't care about not getting a severance package, then they took
right.
them to court, and Disney won. You had to train your
exactly.
replacement.
That's right.
So
you had to train them.
Flat out, like, they just outright quit. Yeah, I'm done. Now I'll do nothing. And,
you mentioned 1,700 people, though. You mentioned 1,700 people, but it's far more than that. It's far more than 1,700. It's the little stores, the little party stores that are around, and the little restaurants, the Coney Islands or whatever, what have you, that are around that carrier plant in Indiana. They built around this plant, and they're gone. So their families are affected. Not only is what is it, 1,400 people in Carrier and their families, it carries through the whole community.
Exactly. And what are those wages that those people are going to be making? I guarantee they're going to be below what they call the Tier 5 wages. I bet it's going to be below that.
And that's what people got to freaking wake up and understand what, all these people, and that's fine, you want whoever you want. I don't care who you want for president. That's your business. But by God, if they want to open the borders, you better realize in a few years your wages are going to go to hell. And that's exactly why they're opening those borders. It just to keep the wages down, and that's going to happen, and all you have to do is blame yourself, and then it'll be too late. It'll be too late. Trust me, that's exactly what's going on.
Well, welcome to a global economy. I mean, this is
one
nothing
world
new.
Government, brother. No, it isn't. It isn't.
They've been pushing it. You had Trump in Detroit recently saying he's all for good paying jobs, but these businesses got to stay competitive with the foreign competition. And I've said it before, whether you're union or non-union, it doesn't matter. The only way to stay competitive with foreign businesses is to lower the labor's wages and their benefits, and that's the only way they're going to stay competitive.
Well, hold on. I gotta correct you on something. He was talking he wasn't talking about wages now. I know this for a fact. He was talking about we're the highest tax, the corporations are highest tax in the world. So he's going to cut those taxes. Plus, all the regulations that are stacked on top of each other that they have to follow that make no sense, that cost millions of dollars. He said he's going to get rid of that. That's what he was talking about. He's talking about bringing corporate tax down to 15% and also getting rid of all these regulations that Obama administration has piled on small businesses and all corporations. You've got to listen to some of these business owners, small business owners. I mean, they got a couple hundred people or something.
It's one thing to cut the business tax on small businesses. But when you're cutting the business tax on corporations and they turn around and they cut our wages and our benefits, and then the government puts the tax burden on us, how do you sustain a structure like that?
Well, he's cutting all the way he's talking, he's cutting all taxes. Now, I'm not advocating for Trump at anybody, so just cool your jets. But it's 15%. He wants 15% for all of us. He knows the middle class. He knows this, and he might be on our Saturday show coming up soon. So I'll let everybody know, and you can call in and ask him yourself personal questions. I'm supposed to have him for about 45 minutes on a Saturday night, and we're trying to set that up. And anyway, I said, now you made a mention in Birch Run that you thought the auto workers made too much money. He said I might have said that, and I sure didn't mean it. I don't think they make enough money. Now, I talked to people that his surrogates, and they told me the same thing, but I wanted to hear it from the horse's mouth, which I did. And he said, listen, they won't go after your wages if we can get government monkey off of everybody's back, and that means corporations, small business, everybody.
So he retracted about sending auto jobs down south. And when I say down south, I mean in the United States.
Right.
So he retracted all that.
He said we got to keep Detroit. We got to keep. And I said, Flint. And he said, I went through Flint. And he said, I couldn't believe it. And he said, he remembers going through Flint years ago. I don't know how many years ago. And he said it was a industrial town, but it was a very nice town. And he said, I remember the brick downtown. And he went, he said, I drove down, he doesn't know the street, but he said it was a ghost town. It was a ghost town. When he went through there, there were stores that were open. There was a 5 and 10, and I imagine he meant Kresge, so that must have been a long time ago. He said, and then he and Dr. Carson went through Detroit, and he just was amazed at the empty buildings, and oh man, it's something. He was going on and on. He said these people have to make money. They have to. You got to make a wage. Everyone wants to make a living wage, but he said, what's a living wage nowadays? You guys haven't even had a raise. I said, well, they get a tiny raise. You know, they get a little bonus. He said, but doesn't that tie in? And he knew it, something tied into our pensions. So somebody's been talking to him. Somebody's got, you know, explaining to him about bonuses and paychecks and pensions. So he knows a little bit of what he's talking about. So, but, it, you know, if this happens, if we can pull this off, he wants to do it. I want to do it. And he said, I said, I don't tell you what questions I'm going to ask, and we take callers. He said, I don't ever ask any reporter or anybody to tell me the questions. He said, I don't. He said, just fire away and I'll answer best I can. So I will let you know, and Scott, I'll let everybody know. He said he'd give me a 2-week notice if he can. So there you go.
Well,
we'll find out. We'll just see. We'll just see, because I don't trust anybody. You know that. We've been burnt so many frickin' times by so many politicians. I don't believe, I told him, I don't believe anything anymore. I don't. And I you can tell me the sky's blue and I'd have to go look, because I've been burnt, and so has everybody in Michigan have been burnt, and the United States have been burnt. So can you understand when you say something and it sounds really good to me, that I three quarters of my brain saying that's BS, that's bullshit. And he said, I understand completely.
I think that's how most people feel. You know, these politicians tell the people what they want to hear, and then when they get in office, they do the total opposite of what they told them.
Right.
You know, it's only common sense that when you pay the labor fair wages and good benefits, that the economy is going to continue to boom. We are the biggest consumers. So, you know, that to me, that's just common sense. But when I see politicians, whether it be Trump or Hillary or any of the rest of them.
Anybody. Right.
They, you know, they all belong. They're not just politicians. They all belong to the business world. Okay. A lot of them end up being lobbyists and such. And so they're intertwined with these businesses and politically. And so.
Right.
In order for these companies giving donations to get these people back into power, back into their district. But they're, you know,
right.
If I gave you $100,000, I expect something for that. And that's where the problem is, because now all of a sudden these politicians, instead of looking out for the people, they got to look out for the company that gave them the donations. So,
right.
But I'm going to say this about whether it'd be Trump or Hillary or whoever. The things that I want to hear is not just about good wages and benefits and stuff like that, and sealing off the borders, because, I mean, look, let's be realistic. There's only so many jobs in the United States, okay? If you got businesses sending jobs out, you got foreigners coming over here on work visas, and then you got the American people, I mean, there's only so many jobs to go around. So by saying that, don't try to break that down into a race issue, because it really, it's not. Every country has borders. That's the sovereignty of a country. And we can only do so much for the American people. But if you're shipping jobs out and bringing foreigners over here on work visas, then your children ain't going to have jobs. Other thing I want to hear is, you know, I'm not a big fan of free trade or NAFTA or TPP. I think we need to get out of the business of trading with other countries, because.
Well, let me interject something. Did you see the press conference he had with the Mexican president?
No,
did you see that? Okay, let me tell you something. We've heard about NAFTA since Clinton got out of office, President Clinton. Now, let me tell you, he was at a podium right next to the president of Mexico, and he looked right in the cameras and he said, and we will renegotiate NAFTA. And he said that right there in Mexico, in front of the Mexican president and all the press. And he's been saying that since day one. Now, what he can do, I don't know what he can do. I don't know if he knows what he can do. Can he bring these jobs back? I don't think so. But can he help keep what we have here and maybe start more businesses and expand, like General Motors, build a damn company or a plant somewhere in the United States? Yeah, he can do that. But he did, in front of the president, bring up, we will negotiate NAFTA. And now, I know Obama said it in 2007 when he was campaigning, and it scared the hell out of Canada. Canada called the Obama people, and they said, no, that's his campaign rhetoric. Now, this came from the minister in Canada. I can't remember. Interior? I can't remember now. not interior, but it was someone, and they got into a little pissy mouth. Obama said, "I didn't say that. I didn't tell Canada that." And Canada said, "Yes, you did," and it called twice. So this is the first time somebody in front of the president and said, "We will negotiate NAFTA. We are going to make it fair." I watched it. You can watch it on YouTube, and it was very good. I thought.
Whether it's me personally,
BS, I want to see it before I believe it, brother. But it was a start. It's a start.
Well, between me, I mean, you know, I think we ought to get out of the trade market. I think each country should be within their borders as far as. You know, every country's got their own resources, and
right.
You know, I think we're too globalized now, and I think it's causing more damage to the labor markets in each country. Now, I don't know if equalizing the free trade agreement is going to fix anything or not. But I believe that there's got to be regulations on these businesses as far as making threats about, you know, look,
right.
Either give us a break or we're moving out or whatever. You know,
right.
If you're going to move out, then move, but you can't sell your product in the United States no more then. I think we also need to get rid of the Federal Reserve. I think we need our own monetary system. Not owned by an outside source, you know, that manipulates the currency and sets the interest rates. So there's a lot of things that I think need to be done in order for anything to really change. And this is just my belief, but I don't see Hillary or any of them going against the Federal Reserve. And so that's just me.
Living to tell about it, because the last president that did that was John F. Kennedy. And
Lincoln.
Lincoln, yeah, but the last one was John F. Kennedy, and I still have those. It says federal. It says silver certificate, and
yep.
I think they printed out $5 billion worth, and that was it. And it. You're right. The Treasury, we should not be paying the Federal Reserve interest on money that we can print ourselves. Oh, it's a scam. The Rothschilds have a big interest in that Federal Reserve, so it'll be a hell of a fight to get that out, because the president will get killed. And it's as simple as that. And that's unfortunate.
What you have is you have a central bank, a world central bank, who's run by an elite bunch of people. We try not to be a political show on this, but this does affect
right.
us somewhat.
It affects
okay?
us.
And,
yes, it
and
does.
The last two presidents who've tried to get away from a centralized bank, unfortunately, were assassinated. But people don't understand how this works, and I guess I'm going to take a poke at this and try to explain this 101 style, because I'm not really that great at it. But it's like this. You have a controlling bank, and what they do, and let's call it what it is, we'll say it's the Rothschilds, okay?
Right.
Who are in control of our central bank here for the United States is the Federal Reserve. What the Federal Reserve is a private-owned bank. What this bank does is it loans a bunch of paper money that has no value to the U.S. government, to the United States, and that comes out to us. What they want in return for a payment is an interest on that paper money that they loan to the government that has no net worth. That our government has to pay money back to the Federal Reserve in the form of an interest payment. And how the government then collects from us, the U.S. citizens, is through the IRS and your taxes. And it might be your business taxes, it might be your income tax or corporate tax, but
just
that's how
taxes.
They collect the money from the people. It's through the taxes. That's this whole thing in a nutshell. See, what you have is a form of what the experts call, and I've kind of been reading up on this a little bit, is a monetary slavery. This
that's
is how
right.
we maintain control of everybody in the United States from the corporate level down. Now, the ones who get the favor in the corporate world are the ones who are involved and do the beck and call with the big banks. Okay? Now,
that's right.
it gets a little bit better. The other people, the other half of people that help control the United States, okay, because we all know the media has been bought and paid for, the judges are all bought and paid for, but you have the politicians. Certain politicians align themselves with certain people out of these factions and these bank groups, and they are beholden to them. They are their puppets, and they pull their strings, and they come out at us. Okay, so I'm just saying, exactly.
And that,
so
that affects everybody in the United States from the working man throughout the United States. So that puts money, that takes money out of your pocket or puts money in your pocket. They control all kinds of things. And you're right. We need, there's a lot of things we got to do, but you know, you only have, well, hopefully you have a good, honest president that tries to do something. But the Federal Reserve at least audit the damn thing. They won't even audit the Federal Reserve, and they should audit. They'd find a lot of things, I believe. And,
yeah, but even if they audit the Federal Reserve, what's that going to do? I mean, they're going to most likely they're going to hide a lot of information, like Hillary. And you know, and then once you do find something, I mean, do they fall under our laws?
Well, they just lost almost $7 trillion come up missing out of the Federal Reserve.
Right.
But that doesn't concern us because it's not our bank. Privately owned bank that's owned by the Rothschilds.
But it is our currency, and it is our tax money.
Well,
that's right.
Yes and no.
He's right. We pay our taxes go to them.
Right. We pay the IRS, and the IRS pays them. But if you go back to the Constitution, the Federal Reserve System is illegal because it says in the Constitution that not one group shall have control of our inflation or deflation of our money. And until we get back, like Brian says, until we get back to a gold standard to back our money, you know, if anything happens on Wall Street, we're all SOL unless you've got some gold or silver or some kind of precious metal in your personal possession. You know, something that you have in your hand or have hidden in your house or buried in mason jars out in your backyard. It's just that way, you know. I'm just saying, you know. And I talked about Willie Swamp here.
Yeah, and people say, "Oh, this isn't—you're not supposed to talk political." This affects the working person in the plant, sweating their butt off every day. It does. And I think this is going to be one of the most important elections. And I tell you, it is crazy. And by the way, Hillary Clinton is all right. Her doctor diagnosed her with pneumonia. She was dehydrated when she passed out today, this morning, and she is under doctor's care to rest for right now. She's on antibiotics, and the doctor says she's doing just fine. So. Well, we're glad to, you know, I don't want nothing to happen. I do not like this woman, but I don't want nothing to happen to her. And I'm glad that it's nothing more than pneumonia is pretty damn, you know, at her age at 68, that's a pretty dangerous thing too. So, she is doing better. And so everybody can stop writing all the crap about this and that. She did have a pretty rough time this morning at the 9/11 ceremony.
Tribute. Yep.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to what we're talking about, and this comes right back to the core of this whole show. Listen, we love our union, and we're proud union members.
You're damn right.
But we're not proud of the leadership that we have at the national level, or in a lot of places, the local level. And when these concerns that you just heard us talking about, and hopefully I kind of explained our monetary system so you could understand that. When these concerns come up, all we want is we want our leadership from down at Solidarity House to step up and represent us and say, we are not going to stand for this anymore. We're here to take care of our members. And that's not happening, folks. That's what we're truly concerned about. We want them to come out and fight for our wages, fight for our protection, fight for our pensions, fight for the retirees and everything they've been taken away from them. These are things that we've paid money into, some of us well over 30 years. And for these people to sit back silent and do what they're doing when it comes to trade talks, it's unforgivable. And I had somebody ask me about their phone call that they got from Solidarity House endorsing Hillary Clinton. And if you remember what I said a couple of weeks ago, I've got one person that we can show who has lied to the members, who wants you to endorse somebody else that does not have our interests at heart. Okay, I don't care who you vote for. I'm just saying that this one individual does not have our interests at heart. And if you do just a little bit of homework, if you understand us talking about big banks, Hillary Clinton is very loyal to the big banks. Goldman Sachs is her buddy. And
corporate,
Mr.
Listen
Rothschild.
To this. Hold on. Listen to this. Yes, Lynn Rothschild is a good friend of hers, by the way. Hillary Clinton has taken in $122 million from corporations. Donald Trump has taken in $19,000 from corporations, banks, corporations, and banks so far this year. $19,000. And Trump said, and when I find out who gave me the $19,000, I'm going to give it back. And that's what he said. Whether he does or not, you know he's not. But
now, let me say this. That's a hell of a difference. They're both big business, and she has gotten a lot of money from corporate welfare, and they pushed her along, and she's all for the Trans-Pacific Partnership, whether she says it or not. She's backed it in the past. But I'm also going to say about Trump, you know, Trump has filed bankruptcy so many damn times, and he's played the system just as well as Hillary has. They're both intertwined with the business world. And for me, I mean, it's hard to trust either of them because they both come from the same background as far as I'm concerned. They rub elbows with all the elites, and they came from the same background. So there might be some differences, but really when you dig deep for me, they're kind of almost two of the same. And that's what worries me. I could be wrong, but I'm just telling you how I'm looking at it. So,
okay, that's fine. I'm not telling anybody what to do or who to vote for. That is your personal business. I have looked at and read, contrary to what other folks think, I have read a hell of a lot. And, Scott, you know this. I read a lot of things, and I can tell you one thing right now. I will not vote for Hillary Clinton. That is a positive, definite. That will never happen. Ever.
Right.
Clinton, we're done with the Bushes. I'm done with the Clintons. It's time to move on. Who do we do now? I don't know. I wish we had a viable third party candidate. But they put a clown up there, and I'm sorry, that's what he is. And he was asked a simple question the other day, and he didn't even know what that was, and if you've seen that little picture, a picture of that little boy sitting in the back of an ambulance, this burnt, it was all over the internet.
Yeah,
that's what they were talking about in
Syria.
Yeah, it was a city in Syria, and oh my gosh. Anyway, we could be in trouble, or we might not be in trouble. I don't know. Hopefully, we have a strong Congress to keep whoever gets in office under control. Well, that's all I can say.
Well, let me say this. I mean, you know, like I wrote in my little paragraph that I threw up on Facebook.
Right.
If the people wanted the power, they could have it. Okay.
That's right.
Like I told you about the Labor Day parade. There's no meaning to it no more in this global environment. It's just a formality now, because you know, I talked about, you know, you go down there to the Labor Day parade, you're marching and all that, and you think you're marching for a cause, but you're not, because if you're not willing to fight for good wages and fight for benefits and equality and safety and other labor issues, and you ain't willing to fight for the retirees, you're just going down there, just going through the fundamentals. I mean, you're not doing nothing if you're not willing to fight.
Now, Brian, I don't know how old you are. I know pretty close where Scott's at. I remember being a kid watching, and my dad was proud. It was just awesome, and it did give you a good feeling to see in Detroit the Labor Day parade with the UAW, and it. Good Lord, it was fantastic to me, and now I don't even know if anybody goes to it. Do you know what I wish? I wish Dick Danjum would write a book. Just write a book from the time he started to now, and then like the next five chapters where he thinks things are going with the UAW and the Big Three. I would love to read that, because we haven't got somebody that has that kind of experience that could write that kind of history. His kind of history, you know, he's taught us so much, and he needs to write a book. That's all I can say.
Well, see, this is the thing. Everybody has been reprogrammed over the last 30 so years.
Oh boy.
Okay. So
yeah.
when your dad was working and they had the Labor Day parade, the world wasn't so global, and the American people.
Oh, that's right.
The American people fought for equality. They fought for better wages and health care. You know, that meant something back then. It doesn't mean nothing right now, because nobody's fighting for these things anymore. And so that's the problem right now, is people are so lax and content and so brainwashed, or they just don't know what to do, or they're scared. Whatever the case might be, you guys remember that the U.S. dollar is still, as we speak, is still the world currency. They're not trying to see that
right
dollar collapse at this point. So, truthfully, the labor of the United States still has the power if they were willing to stand and fight. But I'm going to tell you, unless you get control of your leadership, we're going to keep going backwards. So our first fight has got to be with our leadership. We need leadership reform. Now, we could do it through the convention, or we can forcefully walk their butts out that front door of the Solidarity House. Either way, I don't care, because I'm game for either. But if the delegates ain't able to make that work at the convention, the next step is yanking them out of that Solidarity House physically and forcing that reform. Because if you guys are not willing to stand up for equality, you're never going to have solidarity. And if you don't have
right.
solidarity, you're never going to have strength in numbers. Therefore, guess what? We lose.
Yep.
So you guys got to
yep.
stand up and get control of your leadership. It's not about being anti-union. It's about getting control of the leadership to force them to do what they're supposed to do for us. And that's represent the retirees and to represent the membership and to bring equality back so we can have an even foundation.
Right.
That's
but
right.
you can't, if you don't have equality, I mean, we're all divided within.
And then you got these specified
job classifications for union management. And when I say union management, I mean our union brothers and sisters that think they're management and they're selling out on us so they can have their special perks. See, those are the people we're supposed to be standing up and pulling down because they're pulling us down. So all this team leader and all this WCL, this world-class manufacturing, screw that crap. It's the company's responsibility to run their own business. It's not ours. Let them run their own shit. So all that world-class logistics and world-class manufacturing is nothing but crap. It's just a fundamental to keep you occupied while you're getting screwed. And then you got these people, I get these union officials talking about, well, you know, people don't want to come to work, you know. They don't ever want to come to work. Well, let me tell you something. When you fall under that alternative work schedule and you're working 6-10s,
right.
what do you expect? The union was supposed to fight for a 40-hour work week. And so we had a little bit of balance, spend time with our families and get things done that we need to get done. Or maybe if we're sick, we have time to go to a doctor's appointment or something, right? But there is none of that no more. There is none of that. So until you guys decide you want to fight and bring your butts down to the Solidarity House and force that change, you're going to keep getting the same old crap.
The difference between now and back when people used to fight is there was a tremendous amount of jobs to be had out there. And that is a mindset of people, because if I do this, I'm going to get fired and there's no jobs. And that's what that's in the back of their mind. You got to know that.
But you know what? We still have a good amount of jobs if the people would stand together. Because let me tell you something. Like I said, the U.S. dollar is still the world currency. And a lot of these businesses, their headquarters are stationed here in the United States. Why? Because the U.S. dollar is the world currency. So if these people would stand together and fight these corporations, but you can't fight the corporations without the leadership, right? So we got to get control of the leadership first. And then we need to stop going with this alone mentality, and the unions need to combine. I mean, whether you fall under the IBEW, the Steels Union, the UAW, the CWA, they need to combine those unions. That way, you know what? When something's not going right for one sector of labor, then they all walk out. We support each other because they're hitting us one by one. They're weakening every single union right now. Stick together.
Right.
No more.
Like in Europe, let's say you're working at the local bank over in, let's say, France, and your wife is working in the largest bread manufacturer over in France. If your wife goes out on strike, she calls you. You go out on strike. You call me. I'm over in the trucking industry. I shut down the trucks. We all stop. We all support one another. And what happens is the person who is running the bank that you work at, the person who controls the trucking company that I'm at, they call the baker and they tell him, hey, get your labor dispute settled. You're costing me money. We don't do that no more.
Sure don't.
You know what I mean? We don't do that no more. That's how we used to support one another. People don't understand the importance of a union, of a good union.
And these banks, the money that these banks hold and the money that these companies make, they don't do it without us.
And that's why my point is, from the border to the north to the border to the south, from coast to coast, people don't realize it's the unionized worker that makes this country run. Okay? Like I said, coast to coast, border to border, it's the unions that make this country run. You've got, you still have the pilots, you have the truckers, you have the train, you have the longshoremen, you've got us and all the manufacturing sectors. Listen, I'm just telling you, that's just the bottom line. That's reality, folks. It's hardworking men and women out here from border to border, coast to coast, that make this country run. And what happens is, when you have bad leadership that couples up with these companies, that's where our problem is. That's where our problem is this leadership. They get around this money. They get around health care issues. They get around pension money. I mean, this is no secret. Everybody's known this since the beginning of the time. Whenever there's a large amount of money around somewhere and somebody gets the access to it, 75% of the time, something happens. You know what I'm saying? Something, and it's not always positive, that happens. I mean, my goodness.
Follow the money,
time,
brother.
Exactly. At one time, if I'm not mistaken, I believe the U.S. government asked for a loan from Jimmy Hoffa because the pension money that he had set up at one point was huge. He had their pensions taken care of for years and years and years. And he had so much money in the pension fund that the government was asking for a loan from the pension fund. You know?
I don't know. I haven't heard that, but I wouldn't doubt it. I don't know.
Well, I remember somebody wanted a loan from Hoffa because at that time, and I'm talking probably in the early 70s, he had so much money in the pension fund that people were asking for loans.
And I believe I heard something. I think I've read something of the sort in the past as well, because it's one of those things that if the economy did crash, the government does have a right, and they will take every last penny from everybody out of your bank accounts, your pension, whatever. They're going to do it. Whatever it takes to keep this company or this country propped up, they're going to do it. So it's
right.
Not like they have. They haven't done it before, you know, back in the 30s when the economy collapsed, you know, they had to create new notes and all that. And what even they gave some IOU notes or something that to pay the military. Am I correct? So
I believe so. No.
So, I mean, I don't know the facts on it, but I remember reading something a while back ago on it. So, but anyways, the issue lies in our hands. Are we going to do something about this, or are we just going to sit idle and just wait for it all to collapse? It really comes down to the membership taking the time, whether you're retired, whether you're two-tier or tier one or TPT, whatever, even if you're non-union, because we're all being affected by this. I mean, that's the reality of it.
That's
so,
right.
The bottom line is, even if you're a white-collar, depending on what pay grade you are and what level you are, you're basically on the same level as the rest of us. So we all need to come together and fight for the rights of the American worker and wages and equality and benefits and all that good stuff like they did back in the 1930s all the way up to the 70s. We just need to get that old school mentality back, because this new mentality is not getting us nowhere. So if you're going to have it in your head that you're afraid to fight, when this is all taken away, you think you're scared now, wait till you have nothing. So that's just my belief, that our first fight is with our leadership first. We need to go after the leadership in order to make any type of legal changes, because the National Labor Relations Board only recognizes the leadership at the Solidarity House. So they don't recognize us. So we need control of our leadership.
Right.
But,
well,
I mean, you've seen what I posted, I think it was last week, that the union agreed, the union leadership agreed, because they ain't stopped it. On the Chrysler side, they're relinquishing some of the duties of skilled trades onto hourly people to basically do the PM work on the lines. So whatever type of maintenance that needs to be done on the lines is going to be done by hourly people. So that means you're getting rid of more high-paid skilled jobs, and as an hourly person, you're not going to get nothing extra for it. It's just going to be part of your responsibility now. So they're adding on to your job, which to me, I think is bullshit. This is something that hourly should be saying no to, and they should be backing the skilled trades on this. That's their work. Let them have their own work. We got our own responsibilities. Just like it's not our responsibility to run the business. I don't believe in this relationship with the business, this world-class manufacturing and world-class logistics and having all these appointed positions and leadership positions and all this other crap. I mean, we have watered this union down so bad that you got that big group of cliques that got some type of appointed position or leadership position with the company that they're selling us out. That needs to stop. We need to eliminate those positions. Because to me, I think it's doing more harm than it is doing any good. And that's just my belief.
Right.
I know most people that have those positions don't feel the same way, but, you know.
Well, I mean, wasn't this last week, wasn't it Ford? What we're talking about. That was at Ford, right? Was that at Chrysler, where they're going to give some of the skilled trades work to the Division One workers, right?
That's Chrysler. They did it at I think they were doing it at Jefferson and Shap and Warren so far, I believe, and it started on September 1st.
Right. Now Shap is Sterling Heights, right?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. And we know that Ford has that provision where they can do the same thing. That's in their national contract.
Yeah, I heard it was.
You know, it's just they're just trying to squeeze the workers a little bit more, you know, and it's not a good thing. It really isn't. They're not going to train these individuals where they need to be trained. They're going to go in there, and I mean. My first thought is safety on this, because you need to take these people through a lockout training course, and I'm not talking about an 8-hour shift thing. I'm talking a 2-week full-blown course on lockout, because you're going to have somebody's end up getting hurt. Somebody's going to get electrocuted, or somebody's going to maybe lose a hand or a foot or get hurt or hurt somebody else. Because they're not trained in how to go into these working cells and do some of the parts, the things that they're asking them to do, you know. And it's bad, because right now of all people, Dennis Williams and Norwood Jewell should be coming out adamantly saying, no. How come we've not heard from Norwood Jewell or Dennis Williams on this? We haven't heard a peep out of them over this, which would tell me then they're complacent with this. Unless I'm wrong, right?
No, I would agree with you. You seen the thing I sent you, Norwood Jewel is supposed to come out on the 13th, and they're only letting 50 people from day shift sign up to go to this town hall meeting with Norwood Jewel, which is going to be held on the company premises and not a union hall, and only 50 people out of 700 get to go. So,
wow. 50
that should
people?
Tell you something. 50 people out of 700 get to go to this town hall meeting. So afternoons and midnights is left out. They don't get to sign up. It's only for days.
Oh, of course. Of course. Of course how that works, isn't it?
And that's what we need to stand up to. Because if the company is agreeing to let the union do this on company premises, then they need to let all 700 people go. If they're saying, well, we're concerned about productivity loss, then fine. Then the UAW needs to hold that at the union hall.
Right.
But you can't screw 650 people out of going to an informational town hall meeting. I mean,
no.
we're all paying union dues, so how come you're only giving 50 people the rights to go listen to Norwood Jewel's bullshit, but the other 650 don't have that right?
And I'd be willing to bet that the people who go are DOT 46, special appointed, special interest groups inside the corporation or inside the company.
I would like to have a list of the people that gets to go to this meeting. Then you know who are the who the boys are on days, who they are. And
you need to find somebody who's going there and have them record that. That needs to be recorded.
Good luck on that. I can't see somebody doing that.
No. They're not going to do that, Scott.
No.
Right.
You know,
No.
I would.
Oh, I know you would. And that's why they're not going to invite you. That's for damn sure.
If nothing else, somebody should take notes. You know, key points that they're talking about, because something's about to happen. They don't just send these boys out for nothing. You know what I mean? You always have to be thinking, what are they doing? See, because something else is happening somewhere else.
Well, they opened a Mopar facility there in Virginia, and I believe they're getting ready to open another one somewhere downriver by the Metro Detroit Airport. And so I think it might have something to do with that. I don't know. I'm just speculating. But either way, whatever the information is, it needs to go out to all 700 members and not just 50. So
absolutely.
I'm probably going to make a call to the National Labor Relations Board and see what charges I can bring up on the union and the company, because I think this is wrong.
That's, in my opinion, that's the equivalent of having a union meeting during working hours at the facility.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is illegal. That's illegal.
And it's collusion. Ain't that what you call it, collusion?
Yeah, that's what I would believe it to be. But, you know, we've got about less than a half an hour, and there's some stuff that we probably should touch on. Before I hit this real quick, I want to ask Brian, did you go down to the Labor Day parade?
No, I actually missed it. This is the first time in I don't know how many years that I missed it. I just got caught up with family things, getting my daughter ready for school, taking her to Cedar Point, and all that. So, I didn't get a chance to go.
Well, I heard that Bill Clinton was down there and walked in the parade. And
yeah, I heard the thing. I seen pictures.
I'm telling you, this is how accepting that we are as a labor movement, because I'm sure Dennis Williams was down there, to have the very person who opened the floodgates for our jobs to leave the country. I got to say, the little short, big-eared man from Texas was right. That sucking sound you're going to hear is all of our American jobs leaving for Mexico. He was spot on, and I just thought that to be a slap. And maybe I'm wrong. It's just my opinion, folks, and maybe I'm wrong. I just thought that was a slap in labor's face to have the person who signed NAFTA walk in a parade down Detroit, that's supporting the working men and women of the United States.
Well, how would you be wrong? I mean, if you look at the last couple of articles that have been in the paper, all of our small cars have gone over to Mexico, and now we're just building SUVs and trucks. So, I mean, there's a lot of truth
right
to that.
Yeah,
there is.
You're right. And now Fortune magazine reported the other day that Battle Union urges Volkswagen to accept the labor board ruling on the Chattanooga plant. And, of course, now Volkswagen is going back to court again a second time, actually a third time with this now. So there's some stuff going on around Volkswagen. And when I was talking about Norwood Jewel, something else is happening. Here's the deal, okay? You know, watch the left hand, but don't watch the right hand. And, you know, my example of that is here in the last couple of weeks, you had a professional athlete who wanted to voice his opinion. That was his right, okay? However disrespectful it is, that was his right, okay? And what happened is they blow this up really big for something else to divert your attention away from something else that's happening that's much bigger and much more important. You see what I'm saying? And then this week they've used the National Football League to have these guys do this and cause a big ruckus. And then this week it was even escalated higher. There was even more stuff being done. That's fine. If you guys want to pay attention to it, that's fine. But you need to be looking somewhere else around you to find out what they're trying to divert your attention away from. And that's what I'm saying. This Norwood Jewel thing is a diversionary tactic. What is about to really happen to you all down there at Chrysler? Something big is coming, because the vice president just don't come out to say, hi, how you doing? Especially Norwood Jewel after he got his ass handed to him in national contract talks. He must be back from Alaska now. I don't know. I'm just saying. There's something else going on here, and people need to pay attention to what's going on, because it isn't just fun and games. It isn't the bunch of attaboys. Something's happening. Something big is happening here, and everybody needs to find out what's going on. And I don't work for Chrysler, so I can't tell you what's going on down there. But there's a lot of Chrysler workers within 75 miles of each other down there in Detroit. There's a lot of Chrysler workers. Somebody knows something. You know what I'm saying? Somebody knows something that's going on. Somebody needs to find out. Maybe looking forward to Monday morning if he's listening to the show. Maybe he can find out what's going on. But something's going on. You know, we got stuff going on at Volkswagen again. We got the stuff going on since May at Honeywell. You have two people who are two groups of people at two different facilities that are locked out at Honeywell now. This has been going on. Now they're getting retired police officers to be part of the security forces here, which puts the people in a bad position. Because I went down and walked with the American Axle workers down in Detroit when that was going on. And I'm going to tell you right now, I understand the police have a job to do, and it's to protect the public. But the police officers that I saw at that time in Detroit were not letting us do a picket line. We were trying to detain vehicles from coming in and out. That was protecting our jobs. And I watched them push people out of the way, pull their cars into a group of people. And I'm going, look, you know, you're unionized too. And there's nothing that these people are doing that we were doing at that time that would create any kind of a hazard to the public. We were fighting for our jobs. So you deal with that mentality too. It's not looking good. There's something going on. There's something going on in all the Detroit 3 right now. And what we need is for our leadership to step up and do the right thing. And that's not happening. In the meantime, you talk about letting the corporations run their own business. General Motors just announced that they're going to recall between 3.6 and 4.3 million vehicles. Now, because of a software problem that could prevent the airbags from inflating. So, real quick, if you own any of these vehicles ranging from 2014 to present 2017, okay, here are the vehicles. Buick Encore, Buick LaCrosse, Cadillac Escalade, Cadillac Escalade SUV, the Chevrolet Caprice Pursuit Vehicle, the Chevrolet Corvette, the Chevrolet Silverado 1500, 2500, 3500, the Chevrolet Spark EV, the Chevrolet SS, the Chevrolet Tahoe, the Chevrolet Trax, the Chevrolet Suburban, the GMC Sierra 1500, 2500, 3500, the GMC Yukon, and the GMC Yukon XL. If you own one of these vehicles, please get a hold of your appropriate customer contacts. And we'll go from there. They'll let you know what you need to do. So,
a lot of vehicles.
Yes.
And that's not just
dealing with the ones before this. This is from these models from 2014 to 2017.
Right.
Ford's having problems. Chrysler's having problems. General Motors having problems. That should be a problem to the union leadership. They say they're partners. They say we're all team. Well, there's a problem with your team, okay? There's a problem with what's going on here, and nobody's talking about it. You need to step out front and take care of the members. Us, the membership, deserve that. Geez, we actually pay for that, don't we? We pay for that representation. We expect that. That's something that's given to us. And by the way, there are some locals now, by the way, we haven't talked about this, but I'm going to put it out there right now. Not that I support it. I understand it. I'm not supportive of it, but I understand it. You now have people at different locals who are signing off in Michigan for being the signing off for being involved with the UAW. They're exercising their right in the right to work state. Okay, I didn't say I condone that, but I can understand it because people want to know why would they do that. Well, maybe they're tired of paying money up for something that they feel they're not getting. Maybe they don't agree with it because of...
You also said, for the man that always writes that this shows a totally against the union, the UAW, Scott said it earlier. I think Brian said it earlier. We're against leadership. It's just like your government. If you don't like it, who's running it? You vote against it. I'll tell you right now, our leadership in the UAW is bad. real bad. And that's why people are signing off.
And like Scott said, I disagree with people not paying union dues and opting out. I don't think that's the answer right now. I think that it'd deteriorate the union. And
right.
My thing, and I've been preaching this for quite some time, and you know, nobody's ever gave me any type of response on ways to fix this. And, you know, my mind is telling me the only way to fix this is through the Solidarity House gates. We don't want to collapse the union, but we do want to get control of our leadership. And backing out of paying union dues, you're actually collapsing the union. And we don't want to do that because it will play hell trying to rebuild it back up, and all the assets that we have will be lost. So,
well,
I think what we need to do, Ryan,
if that happens, what happens is the scenario that you've talked about before. It's you know, the body shutting the hands and arms and limbs to save itself. If they take in less and less money because people are tired of the same old bullshit they've been getting, and then all of a sudden now there's less and less money, they're going to tighten up down there and not worry about you and I.
See, I disagree.
I do believe.
I think what they're going to do is what money is left, since they upped our union dues to 2.5 hours, they're going to line their own pockets, and so when it does collapse, they all got a golden parachute to land with, and the rest of us are screwed.
Well, that could happen.
And that's how I feel.
That could happen.
I don't want to collapse the union. I want to get control of our leadership. We need to get these puppets out of office and build up a new leadership. But if we start pulling our money from them and collapse this union, all our assets are gone, and the international is going to make sure they line themselves up before it all collapses.
Right.
That's my take on that.
Yep.
So I think the membership needs to take the initiative to come together, whether you're Ford, GM, Chrysler, parts suppliers, wherever you work, whether you're tier one, tier two, TPT or retiree, we all need to come together and get out in front of that Solidarity House, and we need to force that change. We can't just withdraw our money and watch all the assets and everything disappear, because that's exactly what's going to happen if we do it like that. I think opting out of our union dues is, to me, a last resort. I think the Solidarity Gate is the first resort.
Right.
That's just my belief.
Right. Well, I'm just saying opting out is not a good thing. And then people bastardize and demonize these people. The problem when somebody opts out, instead of putting their name on a so-called wall of shame, okay, is you should go down and say, why is it you feel you have to opt out of the union? So what you should be being taken care of. You need to go find out why people feel they need to opt out of the union instead of trying to fix the problem. Okay, you want to put somebody's name on a wall of shame? Oh, gee, how about Dennis Williams? How about Cindy Estrada White? How about Norwa Jewell? How about Jimmy Settles? Their names should go on a wall of shame because they failed their members.
I agree.
Failed the membership. There, let's put this where it is. And by the way, as much as I dislike this person, I will offer condolences. Cindy Estrada White has lost her husband this last week, and I offer my condolences for the loss on your husband. I know you have two young boys that now don't have a father, and I feel bad for you and your loss, and for your boys and the loss of their dad. But you still have a job to do, Mrs. White, and I send you a shot of White, and I expect you to do it. I don't mean to be cold, but at this point right now, we're watching what's happening at Chrysler and at Ford, and I know General Motors is not far away. Just never is it?
No, and that's why I keep telling these people, look, I'm with you on that, Scott, where you know, people that are opting out, we shouldn't put them on the wall of shame, because I understand why they're doing it. But all I'm saying is, instead of opting out, those people should stand and fight for what they're paying for. So, like, if you go to court and you're paying a lawyer to represent you and they don't, then what do you do? You tell the court, look, I don't want this lawyer. I'm going to end up getting another lawyer. So that's the same with our leadership. We need to fight this leadership. We need to fight the reform. And we need to get down to that solidarity house in mass numbers, strength and solidarity, and fight this leadership and push for reform or push them to do what they're paid to do. But either way, that's what we need to do. Opting out ain't the option right now, I don't think, because, like I said, they're going to line their pockets. They're going to leave with the golden parachute while the rest of us lose all the assets that we built up in this union. And I don't want to see that happen. So, you know, we have to take some type of responsibility for each other and our way of life. And the only way to do that is through those solidarity gates. And I'm going to keep saying that. I'm going to keep preaching it because my mind ain't going to change on it. And then if that don't work, then maybe we should think about opting out of union dues. But right now, this is not the time to opt out.
No.
But I'm not going to curse the people that do opt out. But I'm just telling the people before they opt out, let's look at the options of going down to the solidarity house and fighting for reform. Like, you go out there and protest for civil rights issues, abuses by police officers, or abuses by our federal government, or the Flint water situation. You know, you'll go out and fight for those things, but you won't fight when your own leadership is screwing you right in your face, and they're hiring a PR firm to lie to you and pushing this contract down your throat and telling you if you don't vote for this, you're going to lose your job. Those are the people that we need to confront. And we need to do it now. So you can't just have one leader. I mean, we all need to be leaders. We all need to make this happen. And Scott's done it. Donna's done it. I've done it. Rich and other people have done it. But if they don't have the backing from the union brothers and sisters, we're not going to make this happen. We need the backing from all the membership to get out in front of that solidarity house in order to force change. That's the only way it's going to happen. Because if you opt out, like I said, they're going to make sure they got a golden parachute, and we're going to lose all of our assets that we built so hard to get and built this union up. And they're going to take advantage of taking what they can before they leave, before all this comes collapsing down. And we ain't got nowhere to turn after that.
Right.
Either that or this could be part of a whole, just saying, it's possible. This is part of a scheme all along. This could be part of it. You know, it's like we're working a lot of overtime. They're going to schedule all these Saturdays. And now they're saying that we're going to take a census. Well, Don remembers the last few times they took a census at our plant, what happened. It wasn't a census at all, you know. And they're wanting people to take this census to see how many Saturdays they don't want to work on the first quarter, because they're going to work every Saturday now. And they're going to bring in a buttload of temporaries to work, okay? So that's going to happen, okay? There's not a whole lot I can do about that. Contractual language says it can happen, and it's going to happen. But what happens, though, is you still have to go back to the national contract. What does the national contract say under Plan B? You're still going to have to work two Saturdays to get one off. I don't care what the census said. What does the legally binding contract say? It says if you work every Saturday all next year, you have to work two in a row to get the third one off. You have to. Okay? And that's what's going to happen. It doesn't abrogate what the legal system says. You know, as Mr. Danger would say, what's the black and white print say? Okay, that's the contract says. You have to work two to get one off.
And believe me, they did that just like they did the alternative work schedules. They created that because they're trying to keep the membership from coming together. If you're constantly working 6-10s or every Saturday and you get the third one off, when do you have time to gather in solidarity and fight for your way of life? You don't.
Right. Well, our union was founded on the 3-8 principles. 8 hours at work, 8 hours with your family, and 8 hours of rest. That's what it was founded on. And that don't happen no more. And the alternative work schedule is just such a bastardly thing to do to the workers. All of them make higher profits. Higher profits. They can make higher profits and use higher quality parts then, so we don't have all these recalls. Evidently,
the
you don't know how to make a vehicle.
But not just that. But now if you get in the attendance steps, you're not excused.
Exactly.
Which is even worse. Because now you're in the position of losing your job because you're being forced in more than your 40 hours, and you don't have no time to take your children to the doctor's office. You have no time to take your children to their soccer games or whatever the case might be. You don't have time to do anything that's personal within your family.
Right. Now, I've kind of talked to Don about this before in private, and I'm going to say it publicly now because I could just see this maybe happening, and I hope I'm wrong. But if you schedule every Saturday, what it is somebody is going to start missing some time. And they're not really worried about the temporaries because they're an at-will employee, all three levels, you know, and that's going to happen. So what I'm looking at is you're going to have the seniority people getting in trouble, and as the seniority people get in trouble, now I get them in the attendance program. And as that happens, because of the new language of the contract, some of the stuff is going to stick with them at least 18 months. Okay, and if you have another infraction within that 18 months, you're on the next step. Man, how convenient of a way to get rid of the seniority workers so I can bring in more temporaries. I'm just saying, I could see this happening. And all along, who agreed to that? You know what I mean? Who agreed to that? So, just something to think about.
Yeah, I'm right here. Everybody's there.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You got 3 minutes to go there, Scott. I just want to give you a heads-up time.
Three minutes. Yeah.
And by the way, Lions won. They did come back to win the game, which is unusual, but they did it. Yes, congratulations. And we do have 90 seconds to go now. The little lady talks in my ear. 90 seconds, she'll tell me when there's a minute, and she'll tell me, you know, counts it down for me because I'm kind of slow.
Slow. I will do a better job at getting the show posted so the ones who are listening.
Arlington,
I apologize. And we'll get that. We'll make sure that happens. And like I said, if you're all down there, Arlington, you can always ask to join Workers, Workplaces, and Unions on Facebook. And I'll be glad to take you on there. And that show is posted there. And when we have one, it's posted there. But I got it out today and all the other Facebook sites that I'm part of and put it out there.
Right.
And if those who are listening, if you're interested and challenging our leadership at the Solidarity House, right into the show and tell us what you think. And
absolutely.
Give us your ideas, and maybe we can put something together as a whole and make something happen. So if you've got time to do that, please do so.
All right.
That's great. On behalf of Brian, that was on time, Scott Shing, yes, and he was on time even. And Rebecca the Badass, and she will be back with us next week. And myself, Don, we would like to wish you a very safe week. And don't work too hard, folks. It's cooling off, so it's going to feel a little better for you in the plants all over the country. Thank you for listening and downloading the show. We had a great month, and getting better and better. Summer's always our slowest. You know, people stop listening a little bit. You know, they're doing things. But sure did pick up. So we'll get the numbers for September and make sure you get those, Brian.
All right.
And Scott, because we can't announce them on the air, but it's some kind of super secret thing they got going here at Blog Talk, but that's okay. But we'll.
All right.
We are doing fine. So everybody have a great week, safe week. Brian, keep posting the good stuff, man. That's you're kicking it. You're kicking
it
real good.
Go.
Yeah, I enjoy that. And on behalf of everybody at the UAW Factory Whistle Show, we wish you a happy week, a nice week, a safe week. And if you're a guy, I hope you get lucky. You know what I'm saying? So everybody have a good time. And by the way, Brian, I got to say this. That was your daughter is beautiful and beautiful young lady. That was a great picture.
Thank you, sir.
That was a very good picture. And I don't know how you do it, Brian, but you did it.
She didn't get those looks from me, that's for sure.
Well, that's a damn fact. That is the truth. Oh, nice looking young lady. Very, very beautiful. Very beautiful. So be proud of your daughter, and you are. And Scott, take care of your kids, and I know you do, and the one in the military. Two in the military. Excuse me.
Two.
Yeah, two. I've got one. You've got two. We can win the war. Look out. Okay. Everybody. Everybody read what Brian blogs, because he makes a lot of sense, and he's got a lot of passion,
right.
And that's what I enjoy. You can hear it in the you can hear his voice in a blog. I swear you can. So check it out, and he's got a YouTube video too, by the way. So check that out. Just put down
yep.
Brian Keller, you'll find it, and then you know what he looks like, and you'll know he's got passion. He fires you up. I'll tell you that. He does that. He does me. Okay, everybody, have a great night. Okay, Brian and Scott, and we'll talk to everybody next Sunday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Good night, everybody.
All right.
Good night.